The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. Coming up on the show, we'll have our final segment this week that is focusing on the third annual jazz festival at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. And we'll have a live performance in our studio by the Dan Pearson Trio. Dan, the pianist of that trio, they'll be playing on the festival late tonight. And that all does continue at 5 o'clock tonight, and then tomorrow wraps up. Although they have jazz regularly, so it's not like all the jazz that happens is happening right now. It happens regularly at the Iron Post, and it's fitting that they should have such a fine festival. First up on the show, though, we are going to be talking about a concert happening tomorrow night in Paxton. It's the 13th annual Salute to Veterans concert being put on by the Paxton Buckley Loda High School Band. We have the band director and a couple of his students here with us to talk about this show. Stay tuned. Well, you know what that is, or if you don't, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. It's the Star Spangled Banner, of course. John Stafford Smith's music, probably, with the Francis Scott Key's words, definitely. I say probably because it was a well-known drinking song, actually. There's a little controversy of how that got to be a tune for our national anthem. But it is a grand tune. Here an arrangement by Major Larry H. Lang, and performed by the United States Air Force Heritage of America Band from Langley Air Force Base in Virginia, and Major Lang, the conductor of that band. That's one of the pieces, not surprisingly, that will be on the Salute to Veterans concert that the Paxton Buckley Loda High School Band will be putting on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in the school's gymnasium. The band director is Tim Hess. Mr. Hess is with us, along with two of his students. Thanks very much for coming in.
It's good to be here.
13th annual concert?
Yes, it is. I started in my first year as director of Paxton Buckley Loda High School, and time travels fast, and here I am 13 years later doing it again.
Now, your brother was actually just on the show, was it last week, the Reverend Charles, or Chuck Hess. And he used to be the band director in Danville. And now he actually told me, you can correct this on for the record if you want, that you borrowed that concert from him or something like that.
That is a very true story. I did borrow it from him. Back when he was a director at Danville High School, I was still in the Marine music program. And so I came up and performed as a guest soloist with his band for their Salute to Veterans concert. And I realized the importance of that concert, so I figured anytime I ever get to be a high school band director, we would certainly do that. And here I am 13 years later.
And you were a trumpet player, are still a trumpet player.
I am still a trumpet player and serving actively with the Air National Guard of the Midwest.
I've got a question for, actually, why don't you introduce your two students, first of all?
Well, my first student, ladies first, is Miss Hannah Teske. She serves as our drum major of the band and also will be conducting during the concert. And we also have Mr. Julian Geiken, who's a senior who has some special ties here at the University of Illinois. Both his parents work for the university. But also it's special because for his Eagle Scout project, he decided to pay homage to the veterans by restoring this massive cannon that we have in Pell's Park. So it's good to have him here with us.
Wow. I guess I have to ask about that first. How did you decide to do that project?
Well, basically, just growing up, it was never repaired and had kind of fallen to the victim of being greedy or graffiti. And I just decided that I have, seeing these Salute to Veterans concerts growing up, I decided I want to do something in my own way to honor the veterans, and I decided I was going to restore that, and I couldn't think of a better thing to honor veterans with than finding a landmark that was used in multiple conflicts to restore.
What was the process for restoring a cannon?
Basically, I had to strip off all the old grease and paint and get off all the graffiti with a pressure sprayer, and then I went around to local businesses in Paxton and asked for them to donate paint and various other materials to clean and restore the cannon with. And after that, I used an airbrush painter to paint the cannon olive drab again to its original color, and got a new gravestone marker to write off all the information about the cannon and honor it, like put all the information back on and honor the cannon.
Was anybody in the community worried that you might restore it to working order and make use of it?
No, I don't think so, because it had been pretty well demilitarized with a lot of welding and taking out the firing pin and a bunch of other things.
Stuffing the part where the whatever ammunition goes and
yes,
so on.
Yes, yeah.
What do you call that? Do you know the parts of the, did you learn the parts of the cannon in the course of your project?
I didn't learn a whole lot about the cannon. I know there is a barrel plug in it, and the firing pin was taken out, and the breech was welded back together.
Well, there are three terms that I didn't know myself, so you learned something, although I might have remembered the barrel if I thought about it hard enough or were awake enough. And Hannah, what do you have to do to become drum major? And are you the only drum major, or are there a few in this band?
I'm the only drum major for our band this year, and it was really just an honor to be chosen to be drum major, because at PVL, Mr. Hess personally chooses who becomes drum major. So just for the fact that he chose me to be our one and only drum major was just a real honor, and I've loved every minute of it.
Did he give any indication why he picked you?
Or
should we let him say that?
Maybe we should let him answer that.
It's an interesting process. I know other band directors would do an audition process, and I had done that. But over the years, I felt that I could make the best decision. And what it's based on is first, marching ability, because our drum major is the one who actually teaches the band how to march. But second is I observe the students for leadership qualities. And as a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, I think I have a unique perspective to judge their leadership qualities. And certainly Hannah's far and above any of our other students. And I have a lot of great students. So it's an honor to have her as a drum major.
Hannah, I have to tell you that I'm really jealous, because I wanted to be the drum major of our band when I was in school, and our band director also picked somebody. And up until that point, this was my opinion, he always picked the top musician who was also tall. And that was my problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely not
being
the case
very
for
tall.
Me.
Well, now drum majors get up on ladders.
Yes,
it
we
seems.
Do. I stand on a podium and conduct the band.
Yeah. Well, we, at the time, I don't know if all bands did this back then, but we certainly had the drum major who was always in the front, and you had to somehow see the drum major. And I don't remember that there were any ladders unless the director himself got up on there. But anyway, congratulations on that honor. Mr. Hess, tell me about, I do have another question for these students. Since you've mentioned a couple of times you're being in the, having been in the Marine Corps and now in the National Guard, I have met you on some previous occasions, and it didn't surprise me to hear that you were a military person, because you have a certain military bearing. And I wonder, Julian and Hannah, if he comes across at all Sergeant-at-Arms-ish when he's directing the band. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, definitely. There are some times where we need to be whipped into shape, and it definitely comes out, but I think it's the best way to have things done because it definitely shows in our band, and the level of performance we have, I think, is partly due to his military experience.
Now, when I'm thinking sergeant-at-arms, I'm talking about the sort of person who, I might not even be using the right term, Tim, I'm not sure, but this drill sergeant, that's what I'm really thinking of.
Drill sergeant, yes, sir.
The sort who marches up and down and yells and swears at the recruits and, you know, so, is that what you're talking about?
There are some times where, I know on a personal level for me, there are times where I've messed around and I shouldn't have been, and, you know, it's nothing, you know, I wouldn't say drill sergeant so much, but it definitely comes out and I get scared a little bit, but.
You know your dad's going to be listening to this show, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He already knows.
So it won't be a surprise that you mess around in band sometimes.
Yeah.
Julian's dad is actually in charge of the Illinois Radio Reader, which is a function of WILL, and so I know Dean pretty well, and I know he plans to listen to this program. But tell me about, Mr. Hess, how you decided to put together this particular program, meaning the music that's on it, and what are some of the special features of it? I think you've got some guests coming in to perform.
We do. In my career with Marine music, and now with the Air National Guard bands, I really think, yes, the bands are there to support the military members, but our secondary duty, and I think one that's overlooked, is really we should be out there for veteran affairs, because a lot of what we do is going out and performing in the community, and they say, well, yes, you're recruiting. Well, we're not recruiting as much anymore because there are plenty of qualified applicants for today's military. So I think maybe we should refocus and really be performing for our veterans, making this a service to them, and thanking them for what they've done for our country. As far as special guests in the program, we do have our student teacher who had just graduated from the University of Illinois, Mr. Vince Kenny, and he's going to be a guest conductor with us and doing some special selections. And then, of course, we'll have members in the American Legion Prairie Post number 150 as our color guard to bring out the colors and honor the veterans that way.
Among the pieces that is on the program is some music by John Williams, from a film that I have still not managed to see. It's called Saving Private Ryan. Of course, it was won multiple awards at the Oscars, as I recall. And John Williams has written an enormous number of really fine music for film. And this is one of the better-known segments from that film called Hymn to the Fallen. I think this recording has a chorus involved. Will there be anybody doing any singing, or will this be purely instrumental?
There will not. The chorus will not be joining us for this, but what we have crafted for this is a multimedia presentation where we have a slideshow dedicated to our comrades who've fallen. So it shows a lot of powerful scenes of funerals and flag presentations, and it's really one of the most powerful parts of the performance.
We're talking about the Salute to Veterans concert being put on by the Paxton Buckley Lota High School Band tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in the school's gymnasium in Paxton. And it's live and local on FM 90.9. It was called Hymn to the Fallen from the film Saving Private Ryan, music by John Williams, who also conducted the Boston Pops Orchestra with the Tanglewood Festival Chorus. That's music that will be on the Veterans Concert, Salute to Veterans Concert by the Paxton Buckley Lota High School Band tomorrow night in the gym in Paxton, starts at 7 o'clock. Mr. Tim Hess is the director of the band, and he's brought along a couple of his students with him, Hannah Teske and Julian Geiken. And, whoops, that's another piece of music altogether. I better turn that off, I think, before we start things in the wrong way. You talked a little bit about the program and some of the guests that you have on, Mr. Hess, but you also said, as we were listening to that music, that there are a number of folks who've played in the band over the years who are now serving in the military.
Yeah, we have many. And just recent, a graduate from the University of Illinois accepted his commission, I believe it's last week, would be Second Lieutenant Devin Bergman. And a former student of ours has just graduated from Annapolis and accepted his commission. And I believe it's going to be a submariner in the United States Navy. And that would be Lieutenant Adam Carlson.
So people are moving on in different directions. Have any of these folks decided to become involved in music in the military that you know of?
None have followed my footsteps, sadly, of being military musicians. Although, we just mentioned Adam Carlson at the United States Naval Academy. He played in their jazz band and was a piano player for the jazz band there, which he enjoyed.
Well, since nobody has yet followed in your footsteps, what are the advantages to being a musician in the military? Because that's something I remember thinking about really seriously when I was in high school.
It's very interesting. We think of our student teacher, Mr. Vince Kenny, who was a dual major here at the University of Illinois. He got his bachelor's in music education and euphonium performance. And, of course, there's many jokes that go along with getting a degree in euphonium performance. But where are you going to get a gig as a euphonium player? Military band, really, is one of your few outlets today. So for a person like that, it represents steady work as a musician. But I think it truly goes beyond that. I think to do the job of a military musician, you have to understand your role as far as supporting the troops and honoring that those who have gone before us. And it's really a weight that they place on your shoulders, but one we gladly accept.
The Salute to Veterans concert is tomorrow night. Does one just show up to, are tickets required?
Tickets are not required. We would like people to show up at 5 in our commons area, and we have a lasagna dinner that we're providing for $7 a person. But otherwise, more than happy to have them. 7 o'clock, PBL High School gym. We will never, ever charge admission for this concert because this is for the veterans.
And Hannah and Julian, do you get involved in serving the lasagna at the dinner? Does the rest of the band do that, or is this a parental thing?
Mainly it's the parents and our BPA that put on the lasagna dinner. BPA is our Band Parents Association, so it's mainly the band parents that put it on. I personally won't be helping out with the lasagna.
They don't make you wait tables or anything like that?
No, they don't.
Something to think about for future, Mr. Hess.
Yes,
I think
sir.
It's something they all need to learn to do is wait tables. Well, thank you both very much, all three of you very much for coming in. I hope you have a fantastic concert and a great turnout. And do honor to our veterans. I'm sure you will with the quality of your playing. The Paxton Buckley Lota High School Band tomorrow night. And of course, on the program will be this famous music by John Philip Sousa. That, of course, The Stars and Stripes Forever by John Philip Sousa, a performance by Keith Bryan and his new Sousa Band. here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music. That's purely coincidental, by the way. Breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. We also have support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, an authorized Karistan broadloom and rug dealer at 11 West Port Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. We've been paying attention this week on Live and Local to the third annual Jazz Fest at the Iron Post Bar in downtown Urbana, and have had some wonderful live performances both last week leading up to it and this week as well, and we have another live performance to finish out this hour by the Dan Pearson Trio. The festival's been going since Sunday. It'll continue through late Saturday night. And in fact, Dan and his colleagues will be playing, I think, starting at around 11 o'clock tonight. So his show's going to be for the Night Owls. And if you're not one of those, well, you get to hear him live on this program right now. It's Dan Pearson on the piano, Charlie Kirchen on the bass, and Matt Carroll on the drums. And thank you all, gentlemen, very much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, Dan, quick run through of your own background. Are you a U of I student or alum or soon to be one?
I'm an alumni as of now.
As of right now?
Yeah, I just graduated.
You just graduated? Oh, you walked down the aisle, so to speak.
Yep.
On Sunday, congratulations. With what degree?
A bachelor's in music.
In jazz studies. In jazz studies. Yeah, and your colleagues here came down from Chicago. Are you Chicagoans studying up there, or have you been down here and just happen to be up there at the moment? Charlie, you can start if you want.
Well, I moved to Chicago to go to Northwestern, graduated there in 2010, and have just sort of hung around playing on the scene up there.
You went to Chicago from?
From Connecticut originally.
Oh, from Connecticut. Yeah. Oh, really? That's a wonderful school. That was my alma mater. Congratulations. And you were doing jazz there?
American Studies.
Oh, you did say that, didn't
you?
Yeah. Yeah. And Matt?
I'm from Chicago originally, and I spent the last 4 years in Miami at the University of Miami doing jazz performance as well.
How did you three of you hook up with being so from disparate places, such disparate places?
It's a small world, the jazz world.
It's funny. I've actually known Charlie since high school, maybe when I was a sophomore in high school, because we did the Northwestern Summer Music Institute there.
Yeah.
And then I've known Matt.
You were a cherub.
Yes, I was a cherub.
They were called. That's a cruel name, I always thought.
Yeah, right? And then I've known Matt just from living in Chicago and playing in high school, too.
And so has this been a existing trio for a while then? You got to know each other musically as well?
Let's see, I think the first time we actually played trio together was at the Iron Post last summer in June.
So it's been
about a year, and then whenever we're in Chicago or these guys can come down to Urbana, then it happens.
So it's a very occasional kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's hear a product of this collaboration. Okay. What do you want to start with?
It's a composition of mine entitled Carl Park.
Carl Park, yeah. As in Urbana.
Mm-hmm.
Urbana's very own. Carl Park. All right.
It's a great park.
Thank you. The Dan Pearson Trio, live in our studio on Live and Local. That was Dan's composition called Carl Park, as in Urbana's Park. That's the one that's right across from the high school, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes get my Urbana Parks mixed up, even though I'm just down the street from there, literally. And Dan Pearson on piano, Charlie Kirchen on the bass, and Matt Carroll on the drums. I was able to see Matt's music here, and it looks more, that tune anyway, looks a little bit more written out than I've seen a lot of jazz charts.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? And if so, why is that?
It is true. The way I thought about approaching this composition was to have a through-composed composition, so that there are parts that are written out and scripted, but then there's also a section that it has an improvisation, but it's based on that melody from the beginning. So I kind of like to write music that has improvisations that are based in the melodies. And so if you have a through composed melody, well, that, I don't know, it's I don't know how to describe it. I kind of like writing like that and then taking the improvisations from that.
Well, so for example, Matt, did you have some of your drum patterns also written out, or were you
The part
basing
was,
what you were doing on the melody?
Yeah, more the melody. There's no like actual drum part. More rhythms and melody lines that Dan wrote for me.
And then what about your part, Charlie? I can't.
Yeah, I mean they're just sort of rhythmic hits, sort of sprinkled throughout the form that I think.
But really otherwise, frame. You get the chords.
Otherwise, the chords, yeah. And just jazz as usual.
As usual. But business as usual in the jazz world. Charlie, I had a technical question for you, too, which actually came up in my mind anyway the last couple of times we've had bass players in here, and I didn't think follow through with the question there. Is your G string, is that a gut string?
Yeah, the G string is a gut string.
Is that a common thing for jazz players to do? Because I think the last two guys through here, it looked to me like they had gut strings.
Yeah,
on.
I mean, a lot of guys will use like mixed sets. I mean, the gut string, it's like a great sound, but lots of times if you use them like on every single string, it's just too thick and you have to work too hard to get a sound and the pitch can get too tricky and it's just sort of a mess. So it's sort of by just having the G string, I get some of the benefits without having to work so hard, if you will.
Without all the problems. Yeah. I mean, that's a technical question for those listeners who don't happen to be bass players or string players. It's more customary for most modern string instruments, whatever they are, to use either steel strings or sometimes you'll have steel wound gut. And when we say gut, it often does mean cat gut, I'm sorry to say. I don't know if that's still true or not. But yeah, so just I just wondered if it was partly because it enabled you on the highest string of the instrument to have a little more mellow sound than it might otherwise be.
Yeah, no, exactly, yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's definitely part of the reason.
And if it would just get too mellow, too mushy
too muddy and you have to work too hard for the sound and
is a gut string harder to press?
It's not harder to press, but usually you need to have the strings higher off the fingerboard if you have them on like all four strings.
So it doesn't rattle too
much.
Yeah,
so it doesn't rattle and it's
okay.
Just
a point of curiosity, as I said, I noticed that I think, I don't remember if Matt Hughes had gut strings on his bass the other day or not, but I think the previous bass player did. I'm blanking on who was here last week. Mike Harmon, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're talking about Dan Pearson Trio, who are playing tonight at the Iron Post Jazz Festival. It's been going since Sunday, but tonight's proceedings actually start at 5 o'clock with a group called Simply Jazz Sextet. It features Ray Sasaki on trumpet with Howie Smith and Morgan Powell and Chip Stevens, Marlene Rosenberg, and Joel Spencer. Just learned, by the way, in fact, I think it was announced on this show on Wednesday by Chip McNeil, head of the UVI Jazz Studies program, that Joel Spencer is going to be the new jazz drum professor in the program here. So that looks like it's somewhat of interest to Matt Carroll, our drummer here. And then the John Campbell Trio goes on at 8:30. That first set's going to be about a 3-hour set. And then John Campbell, a wonderful jazz pianist. pianist who's been all over the jazz world, will be coming to Urbana with actually playing with Joel and with Matt Hughes, who we mentioned earlier on bass. And then the Dan Pearson Trio starts up at 11. The festival finishes tomorrow, starts at 2 o'clock with the music of Django Reinhardt. Is actually the name of a group. And then at 4 o'clock, another of Ray Sasaki's groups called Condition Blue with Randy Salmon, Michael Stryker, and Jeff Magby, the drummer there. Then the U of I Jazz faculty, who were on here on Wednesday, will all be there, almost all, on Saturday night at 7 o'clock. And then Mick Templeton's West Coast Blues group will end things up starting at 10 o'clock Saturday night. It's been a wonderful festival. I know I'll be there tonight and going to try to get there on Saturday as well. Dan, do we have another tune of yours next, or a standard, or what are we going to do?
You know, we're actually going to hear one from Matt.
All right. One of Matt's compositions. So introduce this for us.
Well, this is the classic, when I wrote this tune one night when I couldn't go to sleep. It was one of the late night, kind of just had to get it out tunes. It's called Let Go of Your Grip of the Night. And
the inspiration, obvious in this case. Yeah. All right, Matt Carroll's composition played here by the Joel Spencer Trio. The Dan Pearson Trio. I don't know where that came from, the Dan Pearson Trio. Live on Live and Local. The Dan Pearson Trio on Live and Local. Matt Carroll's composition, Matt Carroll, the drummer of the group, and I'm forgetting the exact title. It wasn't exactly music to get you through the night, but something like that.
Let go of your grip of the night.
Let go of your grip of the night. So were some of the sounds that were happening, particularly in the middle section, the sort of things that you hear in your head when you can't sleep at night?
Yes. It's disturbing. You know you have to wake up the next morning, and it's just not letting you get there, your mind.
Because it sounded like things you could imagine going on in the dark at night or however, whatever might go on in one's head when you can't sleep. Some of things disturbing and some things maybe not so disturbing.
This yielded a semi-positive result, so
yeah,
it wasn't all bad.
There you go. Exactly.
It's not really a dark song either.
No.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Things that go bump in the night in the middle.
Yeah.
Maybe something like
yeah.
that. The Dan Pearson Trio will be at the Iron Post Jazz Fest tonight. Dan, do I remember that you played with you were the pianist with the U of I Jazz Trombone Ensemble?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Now, there you were playing the grand piano that is at the Post,
mm-hmm.
taking up a lot of space in a not very big room.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing our keyboard. And obviously with some effects. Are you going to play the piano at the gig tonight, or will you be using your keyboard?
I'll definitely be
keyboard?
Playing the piano.
When you have the option, do you always take the piano?
I would say if it's a nice instrument like they have at the Post, I would rather play a piano than play an electric piano.
Even though now you've brought your effects box or whatever you call this unit,
mm-hmm.
And you clearly have chosen a particular sound mm-hmm. that is not a piano sound.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's something with the... I always feel more comfortable playing an electric piano sound if it's as opposed to a sampled piano sound. Because I feel like at least for me, if I play a sampled piano sound on like a clavinova or something, your ear sort of wants all the same responses that you can get out of a piano, but the instrument can't quite give it to you. But for some reason, when I play an electric piano sound, like this box has samples of clavin, you know, it's like has a clavinet sample, a Wurlitzer sample, two versions of the Rhodes.
I was going to say, it sounds like Fender Rhodes-ish.
Yeah, this is a Mark II Fender Rhodes sample. And I feel like this company, Knorr, does a really good job of just kind of sampling all the highs and lows and the different attacks that you get out of the instrument. So I feel like if I was to have to choose... They do a better job sampling a Fender Rhodes than Yamaha does sampling a piano.
Sampling a piano. So if you're going to go electric.
Yeah.
More or less. I was just curious about that since I know they have that there. And I know when we were considering what kind of keyboard, whether an actual piano or an electric, to get for our studio,
mm-hmm.
This was one of the issues.
And yeah, I feel like you can't beat acoustic instruments. If there's a piano that's in tune... Even if it's an upright or something, you can still get something out of it that you can't get out of an electric piano.
Yeah. In tune being the important thing.
Well, moderately in tune. You know, it can fluctuate.
Well, you can get
bit.
Away with old-time piano or ragtime on a... It almost sounds more authentic on a slightly out of tune or maybe slightly not impeccably maintained piano.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. That's the sound for that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But... Not so much for this. I'm going to take a break here for the moment so I can let you know some of the other things happening in our listening area besides the Iron Post Jazz Festival, and there certainly are plenty of things going on. At the Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood, the group called Timber Train is playing this evening at 5:30. The Springfield Theater Center, is presenting the Great American Trailer Park Musical at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. That's tonight and tomorrow at 8:00. And then a Sunday matinee at 2:00. Chris Raymond will be playing jazz at Bouvon's just down the street from the Iron Post this evening at 6:30. Drew Hansen and friends also playing jazz tonight elsewhere in Urbana at the Red Herring. That's tonight at 8:30. The Prairie Dogs will be at the Pink House in Ogden at 5 o'clock this evening. Community Players Theater are presenting the musical Hairspray in Bloomington tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock, and then that continues next weekend as well. Champaign-Urbana Theater Company are presenting the musical Mostly puppet musical, Avenue Q, one of the big award winners recently, fairly recently, at Parkland Theater, tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and a Sunday matinee at 2:30. The Springfield Area Highland Games and Celtic Festival is happening in Chatham Community Park in Chatham this evening at 6 o'clock. Dan Rivera Trio play jazz and blues at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester this evening at 7. Tomorrow, it's Tortoise and the Hare's Big Race, put on by Prairie Fire Theater at the Unitarian Church in Normal. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the Big Creek Guitar Band is at Huber's in Champaign tomorrow night at 8. It's the Kickin' Grass Band, playing bluegrass, country, and gospel at Kitchell Park in Pena tomorrow evening at 5:30. Amisong has its spring concert called Passages. They'll be at McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign tomorrow night at 7:30 and Sunday at 4 o'clock. Peter Sander, Frank Trumpeter, and Skibbereen are all at the Old Capitol Art Fair, which is in downtown Springfield. It starts at 1:15 on Saturday. Kevin Hart is at Lock, Stock, and Barrel in Decatur tomorrow evening at 4 o'clock. Black Magic Johnson at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And finally, the Capital City Men's Chorus is at Laurel United Methodist Church in Springfield Sunday at 5 o'clock. There are other things going on, but that's about what we have time for. You're listening to 90.9 WYL-FM and HD Urbana with translators W266AF Urbana and W293AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. Reminder that the Iron Post Fest picks up again tonight at 5 o'clock. Dan Pearson's group starts at 11. And you can take us out if you want.
Okay. I think we'll do one of mine entitled Live.
Any particular inspiration for this that you recall?
Not really. It's just...
It's a pretty generic title.
I mean, I was feeling pretty good about being at the end of school, and the weather got nicer, and sit down at the piano and wrote a song and titled it Live.
Feeling good about life, so you might as well live it, right?
Yep.
Dan Pearson Pretty Trio. Simple. Dan at the piano, Charlie Kirchen on the bass, and Matt Carroll on the drums.